You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi there. Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show, Outsmart Emotional Eating. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin. I'm a psychoanalyst specializing in eating disorders, and I know firsthand what it's like to struggle. I found the cure to binge eating, and now I help people all over the world create binge-free, happy lives. And on this show, I am here for you too. Imagine waking up and thinking about your day, not your diet. How awesome would that be? So today we're going to talk about the shy person's guide to overcoming binge eating and embracing confidence. If we have time, I'm going to open up the phone lines. If you're on the Instagram live stream, feel free to leave a comment or a question anytime. Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you ever feel self-conscious eating in public? Maybe you think people are judging your food choices or your weight, or you dread walking into a room full of strangers because it feels like there's a spotlight over you. Maybe you get home from a night out and you go straight for the kitchen. If so, you are not alone. There is definitely a connection between shyness, self-consciousness, and binge eating and binge eating disorder. Feeling self-conscious about our bodies, our appearance, or even just our basic selves, that affects how we think other people see us. When we don't feel good about ourselves, it's easy to imagine other people are thinking the same negative thoughts about us that we think about us. And we may avoid social situations and stay home with food to keep us company. Shyness is one of the most common personality traits in the world, and it can really be crippling. Shy people often have a hard time making friends, dating, networking. They may feel like they're not good enough, or that they somehow don't deserve a success or attention, or to even feel good in their bodies and their lives. Shyness and binge eating are correlated. People struggling with shyness can develop binge eating as a coping mechanism to deal with feelings of insecurity, anxiety, and low self-esteem. And binge eating can also be a way of disconnecting from the world, from those scary people out there, because it can feel very scary. The world feels very dangerous if you feel shy or self-conscious. And you can stay home and find comfort in food. When someone feels shy or self-conscious, they might struggle in social situations. They struggle to express themselves. You know, like in your head, you know just what to say, and it comes out so perfectly. And then if you feel shy or self-conscious, it just doesn't come out right, or you don't think it comes out right. And then you spend the rest of the night beating yourself up for what you said and what you didn't say, and you feel bad. And then what happens? You're going to go to food for comfort or distraction from your own harsh voice. So shyness leads to eating to cope with these uncomfortable feelings. Because let's face it, people can be intimidating. People can be scary. They can be unpredictable, unreliable, and unavailable. Yet food is always predictable. It is reliable. It is available. And, you know, maybe you've expressed hurt or betrayal in a past relationship. Maybe you just feel anxious around new people. Whatever the reason, the unpredictability and unreliability of human interactions can be stressful, can be overwhelming. Food, on the other hand, it's always there for us. It's predictable. We know what it tastes like. We know where to find it. You're not going to go and get, chocolate ice cream and have it taste like sardines. It's predictable. It's reliable. We may not be able to count on people, but we can count on food. It won't lie to us. It won't betray us. And unlike people, it's always within reach. You can go to the market. You can go to the refrigerator. You can go to the pantry. You can go to your DoorDash app. It's always there for you. So this reliability and availability can make food an appealing coping mechanism if you're struggling with emotional eating or binge eating disorder, which is a form of emotional eating. Food provides a sense of control and comfort, even though you don't feel like you're in control. But trying to control food can be easier than trying to control people. It can give you comfort when people and relationships are so unpredictable. But of course, binging hurts your self-esteem and compromises your health even. So the relationship between shyness and binge eating is complicated because people who are socially anxious may be more likely to engage in emotional eating because they lack other coping mechanisms or other forms of self-soothing, or they have a little voice in their head that's telling them all the reasons why people aren't liking them, or they said this wrong, they said that wrong. They may have a real inner critic that's very loud in their head. And what happens when you have that inner critic? Why, you go into the binge zone, which is you're not thinking, you're not feeling, to escape your own mean voice. So using food to avoid situations altogether or numbing out your emotions is something that's really common for people who are shy. And binge eating is a reliable escape. It does provide relief from the stress and pain of being shy or self-conscious. Binge eating is not an addiction. It is not a lack of control. It is not about willpower. It is not about control. It's not even about food. It is a way of coping. It's a way of coping with something inside that we may or may not be aware of. It's also possible for people who already have emotional eating, you know, some kind of disordered eating, to become even more withdrawn and socially isolated because they fear judgment or criticism. Everything they're putting in their mouths, they feel like there's a giant spotlight on them, and it just makes you cringe. It just creates this vicious cycle of isolation and binging. So staying away from people, turning to food. The good news is we have the power to change. Yes, we do. By building a positive view of ourselves and recognizing our worth, which, by the way, cannot be measured on the bathroom scale. Just saying. We can start feeling more confident and less self-conscious. That's the good news. All right, so let's understand shyness and self-consciousness. Maya is saying that's true about food. Once you eat a lot, the shame comes very fast. Absolutely. And by the way, let me just tell you the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is, oh my God, I ate all of that. Oh, I feel bad. I shouldn't have done that. You feel bad about what you've done. Shame is, oh my God, I ate all of that. Oh, what's wrong with me? Oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I'm horrible. I'm disgusting. If people knew, they'd be horrified, right? Shame is about ourselves. Guilt is about something we did that we feel bad about. Shame is feeling bad about ourselves. And it's so important to challenge that shame and cultivate a more kind, loving, accepting, generous, encouraging relationship with ourselves. I have spent 20 years exclusively, with one exception for someone whose daughter had an eating disorder, with one exception, I have exclusively treated people with eating disorders, primarily bulimia and binge eating disorder, now primarily binge eating disorder. And the one thing that I see in everybody is different. I say I don't treat eating disorders. I treat people, and they develop eating disorders for reasons that are as unique as they are. The one commonality that I see is a harsh inner critic, mean to themselves. They'll be nice to everybody else, right? They'll be understanding, compassionate, generous, encouraging, lovely. But when it comes to their relationship with themselves, they are harsh, they are brutal, they are mean. And you can't be mean to yourself and nice to yourself at the same time. So one of the things that I work on with everybody that I see is their relationship with themselves. When we are mean to ourselves and someone comes along and they're mean to us, oh, it's so familiar. It's like they know us so well. Yes, be part of my life. When we're kind and loving to ourselves and someone comes along and they're mean to us, we will not have that person in our lives. No, thank you. You're mean. Be gone. That's why our relationship with ourselves is so important, because when we can be there for ourselves and comfort and soothe ourselves with words and really mean those words, then we don't need food as for comfort, distraction, soothing, you know, and really to escape ourselves. Yeah. Okay, so shyness and self-consciousness, these are two words that are often used interchangeably, but they are actually a bit different. Psychologist Bernardo Carducci, who is the director of the Shyness Research Institute at Indiana University, he defines shyness as the presence of anxious reactions and excessive self-consciousness and negative self-evaluation in response to real or imagined social interactions. That is quite a mouthful. So it's when you are anxious and self-conscious and you feel bad about yourself, you're judging yourself harshly, whether you actually are in that social interaction or not. Or if you are in it, you're going to see it as more negative than maybe it actually is. So self-consciousness is the state of judging yourself for how you look or even who you are. And self-consciousness shows up in the presence of other people. And as Dr. Carducci notes, it can be one aspect of shyness. By the way, you know, I'm talking a lot about people, and I just want to say one question I get a lot is, why food? Why do I turn to food? I've shared many times on this show over the years, the woman who came to me and she said, why can't I be addicted to meth? At least I'd be skinny. And she was serious. She was absolutely serious. She would rather be addicted to meth than struggle with food. I mean, I told her she was not actually a food addict, even though it feels like you're addicted to food. There's no such thing. But why food? She asked a good question. Why food? Why is food my thing? She said, because our very first experience of being comforted, soothed, held, you know, when you're a baby and you're an infant, you're held in someone's arms and they're looking down at you with, you know, with an expression of usually love. And, you know, baby looks up and here's this loving gaze and you're held in these arms and you feel safe and you're all snuggled up and it's just so blissful and wonderful. And that experience, it goes along with being fed. So somewhere in our psyche, we associate food with relationship. When we're talking about comfort food, we are not just talking about comfort food. We're talking about a wish to be comforted. Very important. So that's why we often use food as a substitute for people when people are unpredictable, unreliable, and unavailable. Very important to recognize there's a reason you're turning to food. You're not consciously thinking, food equals people and relationship in my psyche. And I actually want to be with people, but they're too dangerous. So I'm going to get this substitution in the form of food. No, we don't think that. We're not consciously aware of that equation. It's just automatic. But once you can realize that that equation is there, that mental equation, mental math, then you can recognize, oh, maybe you got to look at your ideas about people and ideas about how you experience them as judgmental or, you know, never feeling good enough or feeling something negative. Where does this come from? How did you learn this way of being? That's the key to changing it. So self-consciousness is like this heightened awareness of yourself, especially in relationship with other people. We feel it the most when we're around other people. Being overly concerned about how you're being perceived by others, worrying about your appearance, worrying what people think, worrying what people are thinking of how you look, what you're doing, all of those things. Shyness is also related to social situations, obviously. But self-consciousness is more about our internal thoughts and feelings. We have this whole dialogue with mind reading and projection and all these things that we think are going on when we're around other people. So shyness is a personality trait. You're just more, just a little more low key and, you know, maybe introverted, something along those lines. It's a personality trait, but self-consciousness is situational and it can also change depending on the context or the circumstances you're in. You know, like you can be, if you're shy, you're generally shy around most people until maybe you warm up. And even then you're not, you know, so outgoing, maybe you're introverted. But self-consciousness, you can be super self-conscious with some people and just feel really locked up and horrible. And with other people, you can be free and outgoing and just like a whole different side of you can come out. So as you can see, shyness and self-consciousness are totally related, but different. So shyness is like this feeling of discomfort or awkwardness in social situations, especially when you're meeting new people or when you're in a situation where we are the center of attention or feel like the center of attention. And you could be hesitant or insecure about talking with other people. So what causes it? You know what? No one really knows. There's no one-size-fits-all answer. Various factors contribute to these feelings. Genetics can play a role. Some people are just naturally predisposed to being shy or self-conscious due to just their temperament, their constitution, just how they are, which it's their basic temperament. I remember when my oldest daughter was about a year and a half old, I was in New York with her and we were at the zoo and we're outside the penguin. For those of you in New York, you know, there's the penguin thing and the outside, there's like this big area. And this other little, she saw this other little girl who was about her same age. And she was just, my daughter lit up. Oh my God, she was so excited. And she went, "Hi." And the other little girl, her eyes just popped out and she hid behind her mother's legs. And she was looking at my daughter with a look of petrification. She was absolutely terrified. She was shy. My daughter was outgoing. And they're a year and a half old, right? I mean, that's just how some people are. So some people are more introverted. Other people are more extroverted. Some are shyer than others, just genetics. Then we also have our upbringing, our family environment, how that also has an impact. So especially for people who grow up in a house where their parents or people around them, grandparents or aunts and uncles, someone or even teachers who have a really profound impact on them, when those people are critical, overly critical, and when emotional expression is discouraged, people in that situation tend to see the world as critical and judgmental. And being hypervigilant and shy, hypervigilant and shyness can go together. You sort of inward watching other people, waiting to see who they are and not trusting that you're in an environment full of just neutrality or interest or anything like that. So shyness is a way of protecting yourself from a potentially scary world if you grew up in a world where you didn't know how you're going to be judged or criticized or expected to be judged and criticized. Last, cultural and societal factors also contribute to shyness. Certain cultures place more emphasis on modesty or humility, which can lead some people to be, you know, more self-conscious or shy in certain situations. I remember my brother's wife is Japanese, and he met her in China when he was a grad student. And when I first met her, she was like, she wouldn't even look me in the eye. And she's like, "Hello, Nina-san." Like she apparently she's totally different now, but then she was culturally shy because that's how she was raised in this very patriarchal, traditional Japanese household, right? You're shy, you're demure, especially women, of course. So as you can see, there are lots of causes and contributing factors to shyness, and it's often a combination of elements that shape a person's feeling of shyness and self-consciousness. So let's talk strategies to stop shyness. Okay, here's my favorite one. One technique that can really help to shift your focus from feeling observed by others, because when you're shy or self-conscious, you're feeling like you're under observation. There's that spotlight on you and it's bright and you just feel like, ah. So turn that into you being an observer. Move that spotlight off your head onto other people. Because when we're paying attention to what we think, what we see, what do we think of them? What do you think of that person? As opposed to what do those people think of me? Which is shyness, self-consciousness, you know, you freeze, it's horrible. It's a terrible situation. And then food is your comfort or escape. When you focus on what do you think, eyes out, instead of eyes on you, eyes out. What do you think of other people? What do you think of what they're saying? What do you think of them? You know, not in a judgmental way, just a like, what do you think? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Do you like what they're saying? Do you like their attitude? Do you feel comfortable with them? When it's focused on what do you think and feel about other people and situations, you are less likely to feel like you're under a microscope with that bright light on you. I once worked with a singer who had such terrible stage fright that she couldn't go on tour. She was convinced that the audience was judging her weight, judging her voice. She was certain that she did not meet their expectations. She was thinking, oh, you know, they're probably thinking, God, she's so big. Or, oh, they're probably thinking, oh my God, her voice does not sound as good live as it does, you know, in over Spotify or whatever it was. Then I don't think there was Spotify, but anyway, over the radio. So she had a lot of shame and negative self-talk about her body, which she projected onto the audience. Whatever she thought the audience was thinking, that's what she thought of herself. She thought she was too big. She thought her voice didn't sound as good live as it did when it was all mixed and everything. Of course, no one's voice sounds as good or the same live as when it's mixed. So everything changed after she cultivated more self-acceptance and more self-compassion. She became kinder to herself. She became more accepting. And eventually, guess what? She felt confident enough to go back on tour. Okay? So great, but the story does not end there. She went back on tour and she has this great experience. She could feel the audience's energy. She knew they were connecting with her. It was awesome. It was amazing. And at first, she called me, right? She called me from tour and she said, oh my God, it's amazing. I've never had an experience like this. And she tells me, I think new people are coming to see me. She thought new people were coming to her shows. And that's why she was having a different experience. But as we talked about it, she soon realized the audience had not changed. She had this whole following of people who were going to see her shows. It wasn't all new people, but she had changed. The audience hadn't changed. She had changed. So instead of projecting her own self-judgment into the audience and back at her, she imagined they were now as accepting of her as she was of herself. So being an observer is a great technique to help reduce feelings of self-consciousness and improve your overall sense of well-being. And so is, of course, changing your relationship with yourself. Because when you make peace with you, you make peace with other people and with food too. When we practice keeping our gaze on the world instead of constantly worrying about how we're being perceived by other people, we experience a sense of freedom. We experience a sense of ease. It's amazing. When we focus our attention outward on what we think of people and situations rather than what people are potentially thinking of us, we stop feeling scrutinized and under observation. And this shift reduces anxiety, reduces self-doubt, makes it a lot easier to engage in conversations and social situations without feeling self-conscious and having this like little observer going, oh, what do they think? Oh, did I sound stupid when I said that? Oh my God, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, right? Then you just want to cringe. You just want to hide. You want to avoid that. When we're less self-conscious, we're also less likely to turn to food as a coping mechanism. And people who struggle with binge eating and emotional eating use food to soothe their feelings of stress, anxiety, everything. By becoming more of an observer and less focused on dodging criticism, you feel more comfortable. You just feel better in the world. And then you stop using food for comfort and distraction. Of course, becoming an observer is not always easy. It takes practice to really cultivate this new mindset. But with time, with effort, remember, practice makes progress. It really is a powerful tool to lessen self-consciousness and improve your sense of well-being, your sense of self, to feel just easier in the world. All right, so here are some other strategies to overcome shyness. One is really work on accepting yourself. Don't, as you are, accepting who you are, as you are, not the person you will be one day when you lose this weight or you change your life or you become less of this and more of that, whatever it is that you think needs to change. Don't try to change who you are. It only makes you more anxious and shy. Accepting yourself, really accepting yourself. And why I love the idea of self-acceptance even more than self-love is that self-acceptance is, hey, I accept and appreciate the range of qualities that I am. There are aspects about me I love. And yeah, there are those things I want to change. Yes, yes, yes. There are always those things you want to change, right? But overall, self-acceptance is the good qualities are far more numerous than the quote-unquote bad ones or the things you want to change. And overall, you know, stop trying to be some perfect person. Accept yourself for being perfectly imperfect. It is immensely freeing to do that. And when you're no longer attacking yourself and noticing what do you think you're doing wrong? How could you have done that? How could you have not done that? Did you really say that? It's horrible to live that way. And then how can you escape that voice? What's in the kitchen? So cultivating self-acceptance, which includes self-love, but also includes accepting that there are things about you that maybe you want to work on and maybe you want to change. You don't have to be perfect to be likable and to be lovable. Think about anyone in your life who you like and love. Are they perfect? Of course not. Perfect people aren't real. And real people aren't perfect. If you don't insist that the other people in your life have to be perfect for you to like and love them, what makes you think you have to be perfect, which you can't anyway? So take that pressure off yourself. Challenge your negative thoughts about yourself. So if you catch yourself thinking things like, I'm not good enough, challenge that thought. Replace it with a more realistic thought, like, okay, I am perfectly imperfect. I am capable of doing this task or meeting new people or whatever it is that you think isn't good enough about you. Like, what's enough? What is good enough? You know, all right, is good enough perfect? If so, no, you are not good enough because you're not perfect because nobody is perfect. The only thing that's perfect, you know, is geometry, I think. You know, a perfect isosceles triangle, a perfect rectangle, a perfect square. That's about it. Otherwise, there is no perfection. And that's what makes us interesting. So catch those thoughts. Also, notice the pronoun that you use. A lot of times, people will be really mean to themselves with the you pronoun. They'll say to themselves, you're not good enough. You're this, you're that, you're not enough, you're too much. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Attack, 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 attack. Try, if you do this, try changing that second person pronoun, you, instead of telling yourself you're not good enough. What's it like to say I'm not good enough? It's a lot harder. It's harder. So watch the tense, the pronoun that you're using, and see the way that you're talking to yourself. And if you do not use the you pronoun, by the way, it's just easier to be mean to ourselves with that you voice. Well, you're this and you're that. Recently, one of my patients told me that she looked in the mirror and said to her reflection, "You're disgusting. You are disgusting. You're disgusting." And when I asked her to change that "you're disgusting" to an "I'm disgusting," she couldn't do it. She said it sounded too mean and harsh. She's right. So watching the way that you speak to yourself, watching the words that you use, can really change the way that you feel about yourself. And when you feel better about you, it's easier to imagine that other people are more accepting of you as well. Also, practice socializing in safe environments first. Don't jump into some big social situation where you're going to meet a bunch of people. Start off by practicing being in some smaller group, just even one-on-one to someone new, or, you know, a group where you feel somewhat safe, or you're in a group where you feel safe enough and maybe there's one or two people who you could talk to. I also invite you, by the way, speaking of groups, to join my Dr. Nina's Food for Thought online community on Facebook. Just do a search for Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community. People are there from all over the world. Everyone is lovely and considerate and gets it, and they're shared the struggle. And sometimes when you can feel safe in an environment where you know that other people are going through the same thing, whether it's my community or some other support group, whatever it is, where you can feel safe, practice doing that. Just practice saying just a couple things. Don't dive into the deep end of the pool if you can't swim. Instead, we gotta just get your ankles wet. Go into the kiddie side of the pool. Go into the shallow end, and then gradually get used to being more conversational, or gradually get used to being with more people without that judgmental voice attacking you every moment of the day. That's how we create change. Don't expect it to be instant. Just allow it to evolve. Also, notice your body language. People often don't realize how much their body language affects how they come across to other people. So if you're avoiding eye contact, if your shoulders are kind of drooping, if you're speaking at a low volume, kind of suggest to other people, oh, you're not interested in talking to them. Oh, maybe you're shy. Some people misread shyness as arrogance. My mom was, I don't know. I haven't seen her in a social situation for a while. So she's shy. In certain social situations, and people would think that she was arrogant. A lot of people mistake the body language of shyness with arrogance. So people would say, "God, like, your mom's so stuck up." I'd be like, "No, she's just shy." I mean, between you and me, she was a little stuck up. But in an intellectual way, she's into intellectual superiority. But I digress. Honestly, shyness sometimes registers as arrogance or something along those lines. So pay attention to what you may be communicating to other people unbeknownst to yourself. So if you kind of make eye contact, if you straighten up, if you speak with clarity, people will not misread your shyness as arrogance. And also sometimes when people are shy, other people don't want to make them uncomfortable, so they don't talk to them. So then that just reinforces the problem. Take small risks in social situations. Approach a stranger at a party or something and just introduce yourself. How do you know the host? Something like that. Just something very small that you feel safe in. Again, shallow end of the pool, not the deep end. And as you build confidence, you gradually increase those risky interactions until you're able to be in a larger social situation and feel comfortable. And it really is possible. Also, find activities that help you relax, whether it is yoga or reading or binge watching. That's a good kind of binging. Binge watching a show. Find a way to relax when you're stressed. So this helps you relax when you're in a social situation. When you get used to, okay, how does my body feel when I'm relaxed? And you can recreate that or tap into that when you're in a social situation. And let me ask you this. Is shyness really a bad thing? One thing I hear a lot, and I've been doing this, like I said, for 20 years, I've specialized exclusively in eating disorders in my clinical private practice for 20 years. And one thing that I hear a lot is from people who struggle with binge eating, especially, or people who want to lose weight because they're binging. They say, well, I know when I lose weight and when I stop binging and lose weight, I'm going to be more confident. I'm not going to be shy anymore. I'm going to be able to talk with other people, no problem. So as if they have this illusion that as if by losing weight, they will gain a different personality, right? By losing weight, they will no longer be shy. They will be outgoing. This is part of the illusion that the $60 billion a year diet industry sells us, the idea that by losing weight, we gain a better life. We gain a better self. We'll be a better self if we're thinner. This is patently untrue, but is, of course, what is so enticing, and a $60 billion business needs people to keep dieting and keep feeling bad about their bodies and keep selling the notion that, hey, if you get a handle on food and you eat this but not that and you lose weight, you will be a better version of you. I'm sorry to tell you, nope, it's not true. You will be you. You will just be wearing a different size. Whoever you are, however you are, the way you think, the way you feel with people, that will not change. You may temporarily feel good, but eventually that's going to wear off. You're just going to be you. So challenge the idea that, first of all, that losing weight is going to give you the life you want. I mean, what a superpower that would be. I lost weight and became a different person. I lost weight and other people like me better. It doesn't work that way. Instead, let's find a way to accept and honor who you actually are. One of the best ways that I describe the process of therapy or coaching is this. Supposedly, the great artist Michelangelo, who is now in the news because apparently kids in Florida can no longer see the statue of David. Michelangelo was once asked, how do you turn these great blocks of stone into statues? And he said, I do not turn the stone into statues. I free the statues from the stone. I love that because that is the process of psychoanalysis, psychoanalytic therapy, the psychoanalytic coaching that I do. I'm not trying to turn you or anyone else that you might see for help. It's not about turning you from one thing to another. It's not about changing you. It's about freeing you, chipping away at everything that is keeping you stuck so that you can be your most authentic and true you. And maybe your true you is not the life of the party. Maybe you are more on the quiet, introspective, shall we say, shy side. So let's look at accepting that rather than trying to change the qualities of who you are. Let's look at how shyness is actually a good thing. Shy people are often wonderful listeners because they prefer to observe and take in their surroundings before speaking up. They can make really great confidants. They make great friends. They're more thoughtful in relationships. They are reflective because they often reflect before they talk. They may be more introspective and more self-aware because of that, which leads to greater personal growth, a deeper understanding of themselves, a deeper understanding of others. Not bad, right? In fact, pretty good. Shy people are often more empathetic. They are more sensitive to the feelings of others and more tuned in to the feelings of others, which makes them more empathetic, more compassionate, which leads to stronger relationships and a greater ability to connect with other people emotionally once they feel safe. Shy people often have unique perspectives on the world because they're more inclined to kind of think and reflect before they talk or really consider something at length before they lend their two cents, if they lend their two cents. They can often come up with creative solutions, creative approaches that other people might not consider. And this is a really good asset in the workplace. If you have a collaborative job or if you're working on some kind of collaborative project, right? Makes you more creative. That inward focused perspective creates more creativity and more imagination. And in fact, some studies show that shyness is correlated with increased creativity in certain artistic areas. Pretty interesting, right? So while shyness is often seen as a negative trait, particularly by those who feel shy, it's important to recognize it also has many positive aspects. So if you're shy, remember, you have unique perspectives. You have unique strengths. So celebrate yourself for that. So let's talk about other ways we can embrace self-confidence and reframe shyness. So there are many things that we can do to build your self-esteem and feel more comfortable in social situations. Remember, when you feel more comfortable within yourself, you're not going to eat for distraction. If you can create fulfilling, satisfying relationships with others, notice the language, fulfilling and satisfying. When you create fulfilling and satisfying relationships, you don't need food for symbolic fulfillment or satisfaction. There is definitely a correlation between feeling socially disengaged and empty and using food to fill that void. So it's really important to feel good about yourself, however many people you may engage with. One of the people that you have to create a good relationship with is you. So there are some things that you can do to build your self-esteem and feel more comfortable in social situations. And one is to focus on your strengths and accomplishments. Sometimes we have a filter. It's called a mental filter. We have a narrative and we stick to the narrative. So things happen. And anytime it sticks to the narrative, we say, oh, see? And anything that doesn't fit the narrative just gets filtered out. What? A really extreme example of this is a friend of mine several years ago. She said, oh my God, it was her birthday. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe that so-and-so didn't wish me happy birthday on Facebook. I can't believe it. I'm so devastated. So-and-so forgot. Well, I go on her Facebook and she's got like, I don't know, 200 people have wished her happy birthday. 200 people happy birthday, all these great, wonderful emojis and all this outpouring of love and everything towards her for her birthday. And what is she focusing on? She's focusing on the one person who didn't wish her happy birthday on Facebook. So she filtered out all the good and she focused on the bad. So watch the filter that you have. You know, watch that filter that you have about yourself. What is the story you have? What is the narrative you tell yourself about yourself? If you say, oh, I'm so shy and insecure, are you then only noticing the times that you're shy and insecure? Or are you overlooking times when you feel secure and positive and just at ease with other people? Now, often when I point this out, what I hear is, well, that's different. I feel more comfortable with those people. Exactly. You feel more comfortable with those people. So you're shy with these people, but you're more comfortable with these people. Both exist. Notice who are the people you feel shy around? Who are the people you feel comfortable around? Like, gather information. Remind yourself of your strengths and your accomplishments. Make a list of your personal and professional achievements. Remind yourself of them often. Often we focus, just like my friend did, on what's not happening rather than what is happening or what has happened. So remind yourself of where you are, how and what did it take to get there. Your strengths. This helps you boost your confidence, gives you a sense of pride in yourself. It can also, again, start initiating conversations with people. And notice when you talk with people, whether it's your friends, whether it's your family, are you always talking about them? What if you just start talking about you? What if you gave that a try? Break out of your comfort zone, because you know what? Nothing good ever happens in our comfort zones. We just stay the same. But when you just try a little bit something different, not crazy, just a little bit different, just go a little outside your comfort zone. If you always talk about someone else and ask someone about them, just share a little something about you. See how that feels. Get used to it. And then you can work your way up into more challenging social situations, networking events, if that's your thing, parties, just meeting more people. Remember, the more that we feel comfortable with people, the more fulfilled and gratified we are in our relationships with people. And remember, food represents relationship in our psyche unconsciously, the less you need food as a substitute. And also, reframe your thoughts about these social situations. Instead of focusing on how you're going to be rejected, how you're going to be embarrassed, how people aren't going to like you. If you go in with that expectation of, oh, I got to prove myself in some way, or they're going to look at me and they're not going to like me just on sight for whatever reason, just challenge that. Try to view these as opportunities for growth, for connection. Again, take that spotlight off of you and put it on them. What do I think about these people? Who here do I want to talk with? Who feels like, who do I feel comfortable with? Who do I like kind of have an affinity for? And remember that everyone feels nervous or awkward at times. Really important. Everybody does. Very few people, I guess I just said everybody, I should say nearly everybody, 99.9% of people feel nervous or awkward at times. There are very few truly just 100% self-confident people who can go into any situation and feel good and confident and outgoing. Normalize. It's like a continuum. If on a scale of 1 to 10, some people, 10 being the shyest person on earth, 1 being not very shy at all, people can move along that continuum. Where are you? How do you feel with this person? Do you feel like a 10? Do you feel like a 2 or a 5? What is it about these people that is creating this feeling in you? Get really curious. And the more that you can recognize often how much your mind reading is. Often people are shy because they imagine the terrible things that people are thinking of them. Just like the singer who was imagining all the awful things that the audience was thinking. So of course she couldn't go up on stage in front of their hostile glare. But when she felt better about herself and she was imagining that they were accepting of her and happy to see her, she could go on tour. She could do great. She had an amazing experience. So that same thing can happen for you. Okay, that is the show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Dr. Nina Seville Rocklin, psychoanalyst here to help you create a binge-free, happy life. I am here on LA Talk Radio every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. You can listen later wherever you get podcasts. And for a deeper dive into this topic and many others, check out my book, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating, available on Amazon in every format. And for clinicians out there, my other book's here somewhere. For clinicians out there, check out my book, Food for Thought, Perspectives on Eating Disorders, or even if you're not a clinician, if you really want to do a deep dive into this topic, both of these books are available on Amazon. The Binge Cure is more for mainstream readers, but I make both of them very readable and accessible because I want you guys to have this information and dispense with the shame and the guilt and feel good in your life so you too can wake up and think about your day, not your diet. Have a great week, everyone. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Seville Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.